If we allow ourselves to imagine the disciples taking the words of Jesus here to be actual instructions, we have quite the horrific scene. A scene where perhaps an onlooker from the village says, "What are we going to do with this pile of hands and feet and eyes?" And then the stonemason from the village comes up and he said, "Has anybody seen my stock of millstones? You know, the large ones run by donkeys? I had a whole bunch ready for sale and now they're all gone." Just then they notice some bubbling ripples on the surface of the sea, even as they realize there's a group of people off to the side, maimed and bleeding, unable to move or see. Is this the scene Jesus instructed? Is this what he was imagining would be the next step for the disciples? Or what are we supposed to do with such extreme things that Jesus is saying? I don't think he really meant there to be a pile of hands and feet and eyes. I don't think he meant for the disciples all to realize that they needed to have a millstone tied to their necks. And I hope you'll agree with me that Jesus then must be painting an extreme picture. It's hyperbole. It's exaggerating. These are not actual instructions, so no one get a rope and no one grab an axe. Jesus speaks like us. He speaks in all kinds of forms, and so it's really no surprise that he would speak in exaggeration. We speak in exaggeration, and Jesus uses all kinds of forms of speech. So hyperbole, or imagined scenes, made-up stories. Jesus speaks in metaphors, similes, comparisons. He speaks in direct teaching and words of affection, words of anger, and he speaks of blessing from God the Father. So there's no reason to think that these extreme instructions in Mark chapter 9 are meant to be actual instructions. They are hyperbole, they're exaggerated, they're absurd to make his point. And they're absurd, otherwise the next scene in the Gospel of Mark would have been pretty bloody, because the disciples would have realized they are sinners. And whether it's their hand or their foot or their eye, they are led into sin by their sinfulness. And the disciples would have also realized they probably had not taught everyone correctly yet about who Jesus is. And so the next scene in Mark chapter 9, if we took these words of Jesus to their literal conclusion, the next scene would have been pretty bloody, and then there's Jesus looking for 12 new disciples. So we can set aside the bloody scenes. We can set aside the drownings. But we can't really just set aside what Jesus is saying. Because, is it just about some kind of bloody scene, or is there something else here? And actually, is that something else in what Jesus is saying? Is that something else actually what makes us uncomfortable? Is there something more than skin deep, something thicker than water and blood, something Jesus is saying to us? Is there something that is actual instructions here? Could Jesus be actually showing us just how serious he is about sin? Sure, don't go cut off your feet because they let you wander where you shouldn't go this week. But just because you're not taking out an axe, the words of Jesus, they still hurt. God's asking, just where have your feet been taking you lately? No need to look for a millstone and a rope and a place to jump into Lake Michigan. But this is still very serious business. You find yourself holding your breath when God asks, "Did you lead another believer astray?" And when you realize the questions that Jesus is asking us, in some ways it would be easier to face amputating body parts than to sit here and realize Jesus is speaking in extremes because of how extremely, deeply, shockingly sinful we are. He's not kidding about this discipleship stuff. Paul says, "What a wretched man I am." When Paul realizes just how deep his sin is in Romans, he says, "What a wretched man I am. Who will save me from this body of death?" And he's not talking about physical mutilations. He's confessing and seeing the depth of his sin and confronted by the power and the push behind the words of Jesus here, we can ask the same question: who will save us from this body of death? And yet we have an answer. We have an answer of hope. Jesus didn't have the disciples stop right there. Jesus invited them to continue with him. Jesus wasn't pointing out the depth of their sin to leave them there in the depth of their sin. He invited them forward so that they would also see what he was going to do in order to bring about their forgiveness and bring about our forgiveness. We have an answer of hope. Who will save us from this body of death? The one who will save us is the one who ends up having hands and feet nailed to the cross. Blood and sweat running into his eyes, stinging and blinding. He is condemned. Jesus is condemned. He is thrown away as if he is a false teacher. Jesus was condemned and cut off in our place, cut off on our behalf to bring the forgiveness we surely need. Look at the psalm reading today. Because you realize from the psalm and from what Jesus is saying here, when Jesus is speaking in such extremes, we also realize he stepped into that extreme judgment. But look at Psalm 104 today, verse 30. It says, "When you, Lord, send forth your spirit, the people are..." That's the second one. Go first to verse 35. You have to have verse 35 first before I can explain the other one. It says, "Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more." Another extreme, right? God's saying, let's wipe them off from the face of the earth. It's as extreme as Jesus saying, cut the hands and feet and eyes off. But then you realize, wait a second. Let the sinner be consumed from the earth. Let the wicked be no more. Jesus went in our place on the cross. This verse is poured out on Jesus. Let the wicked be no more. He dies there. Now back to verse 30. He dies there so that when the Lord sends forth his spirit, we are created, we are renewed the face of the ground. We are renewed by God through what Jesus has gone through for us. He stands in our place. He is condemned and cut off for us. And that is the answer of hope. Who will save us from this body of death? The one who took on a body of death for us. So that we can have new life. So that we can be renewed. So that we can be forgiven. So that we don't have to stay in the depths of shame wondering if we need to cut off some more body parts because they led us astray. Gonna run out of body parts. Instead, we stand in God's forgiveness and we ask Him to renew us day by day. And what's amazing is that Jesus doesn't say, leave the teaching to me. When Jesus says, you know, if you're leading some little ones astray in the faith, you know, tie a millstone and drown in the sea, He's making an extreme case and saying, teach the faith correctly. But the next thing He says could have been something like, He could have said to the disciples, you know what, you better go hole up somewhere where your scandalizing sin won't get in the way. He doesn't send the disciples away. He doesn't say, chain yourself to the altar so you don't wander away from the faith. Instead, what's amazing about this is He knows He will stand in for us. He will be cut off for us, and He continues to invite us along as scandalizing sinners. He invites us along still in this journey of bringing His word of hope to others. These disciples of His, who by every definition should be missing some appendages, and they should be sinking in the sea. What Jesus says instead is, go and tell the world my gospel. Go and let them see my light shining in you. So here's the difference. As we think about what it means to be disciples, we're confronted with our sin, right? And we see the seriousness of our sin. And we see how serious Jesus is in dying for us and rising again to give us forgiveness. And that is our hope. This forgiveness is our hope. And now we're disciples and we've got this forgiveness and hope. And we kind of wonder, like, well, you know, is Jesus still asking us to, like, go and encourage one another in the faith? I don't know. I just found out that I am not so good at the faith. Does He still want me to encourage others in the faith? Well, here's how to imagine it. All right, you're going by a work site. You know, go with me for a second, okay? You're going by a construction site. And you go and you jump in a bulldozer. Because you've always wanted to drive one. You are not somebody who actually knows how to drive a bulldozer, all right? So those of you who do know how to drive a bulldozer, you'll have to change this image. But anyways, you jump in a bulldozer because you've always wanted to drive one, not that I would ever do that. But you're not authorized. You don't know what you're doing, which leads to a disaster of sorts, I'm sure, if I was to drive a bulldozer and not know what I was doing. But you're part of, you know, the construction crew. You weren't supposed to be driving a bulldozer. You got other work to do. And if you did that, you would probably be fired, arrested for criminal activity maybe, or definitely would never be allowed to drive a bulldozer for that company again. But here's how it works with God. We drive His bulldozer, and we don't know what we're doing. We're not authorized to change it according to our own ideas. We're not authorized to take His bulldozer, to take His word and just sort of do with it what we want. And it can be a disaster as we come up with our own ways of trying to explain God's word. And then Jesus stops us. And He's very serious, condemning our actions, condemning our words. What are you doing with my bulldozer of the word? But then He offers forgiveness. And He teaches us. And He gives us the keys again. We are people invited into God's mission just after we found out that we are people who shouldn't be anywhere near God's mission. We are invited into God's mission because His mission is to restore us and renew us. And what a better message for us to go out and encourage one another. We are sinners. I'm a sinner. You are a sinner. We should be cut off, but Jesus was cut off for us. We should be people who are missing appendages and have a millstone to drag around, but instead here we are, forgiven, declared to be God's children, his people, his church, his witnesses. We are here starting up bulldozers. So that's what it means to go as disciples. We go as people who have been renewed. And he encourages us to go. But let's not forget this. Let's not forget this extreme thing is that he is asking us to set aside some things. He is asking us which appendages in our lives lead us astray. There is teaching here. And I'm not necessarily talking about body parts. On any given day, you could be carrying around plenty of appendages that need to be cut off, or you need to recognize them and use them with caution. Here's what I mean. You don't necessarily have to cut off hand, foot, and eye, but you still got stuff on you every day that are like appendages that can lead you astray. You got your wallet, right? And you got your wallet, and it's got some money in it, maybe. And how quickly does money become something that leads us astray? You got keys to a house and to a car, and how often does, you know, your car become a focal point and kind of ignore other things, or your house, you think of it as yours and forget that it is a gift from God. Maybe you got a business card and you take pride in what you do, kind of a pride that goes above just thanking God for your gifts, but getting a little conceited. And then you got that other appendage, that phone. And that appendage comes with lots of things. It comes with your calendar and social media and the web and surfing and watching YouTube. How does that appendage lead you astray? How do you cut off these things? That is what Jesus is speaking into. He wants us to lead lives as his disciples, to start up the bulldozer and go out with his word, but also recognize what are the things that lead us astray, and how does he help us with that? He helps us through community. Telling someone else, being accountable to someone else, praying with one another, so that we can recognize what are the appendages that we need to set aside so that we can move forward in the gospel. But here's where I want you to remember. Even as you are asking to be held accountable, I want you to remember that in Jesus, God has renewed us. His mercies are new every morning. We don't head out for the next step in the discipleship journey trying to get ourselves right. We start every day as new people in Jesus, forgiven, strengthened, led by the Spirit. There's Jesus on the cross. He took your wallet, your keys, your business card, your phone. He died for all those appendages and all the sin they lead to. I want you to imagine them on Jesus on the cross because he died for your sin. And our sin, it's often in the way of being in his mission and recognizing who we are. Jesus died for all of your sins. He has victory over them so that we can be renewed. You no longer need to be burdened by these sins. You are free to live out his love and grace. And tomorrow, when you wake up and realize that yesterday your appendages got in the way, tomorrow his mercies are new again. Every morning, and he says to you, come on, let's go. Here are the keys. Here's the bulldozer. Let's go live in my word. Amen.